We hear so much about India's, massive youth population, this demographic dividend that's supposed to power our future.
Right, the big advantage.
Exactly. But what if the very foundation, our frontline workforce, what if it's facing a kind of silent crisis? Are we really set up to capitalize on this advantage? Or are we maybe overlooking something pretty critical here?
Exactly what we're getting into today. This deep dive, it looks at the mounting pressures on India's frontline workers. We're talking retail, field sales, delivery folks, customer support, the engine room for so many businesses, really.
Yeah, absolutely. They're everywhere.
And understanding their struggles, it's key to understanding the bigger economic picture.
Totally agree. So our mission today, using some really insightful analysis we've looked at, is basically to unpack these core issues.
The ones hitting these essential
Yeah,
workers.
and explore the knock-on effects for businesses, for the economy, and ultimately make it clear why this is something you should probably be paying attention to.
Okay, so where do we start? Maybe with India's global standing.
Competitiveness?
Good place to start.
Because the data here, well, it paints a bit of a stark picture. When you look at the skills of current workforce, the World Economic Forum puts India way down, like 127th out of 141 countries.
127th. Wow. Okay, let's dig into what that actually means.
Well, if you zoom in on specific sectors, the comparison gets even more pointed.
How so?
Our frontline workers think manufacturing, carpentry, welding, even customer service roles, they seem to lag quite a bit behind folks in, say, South Korea, China, Japan.
In terms of skill quality and productivity.
Both, yeah. The analysis points to gaps in vocational training, maybe
Yeah.
practical experience, not enough continuous upskilling, stuff like that. Their systems seem a bit more robust.
Right. But what about IT and BPO? We always hear about our strength there.
That's the interesting part, isn't it? There's this reliance. I mean, there's a quote from our source that really jumped out at me.
Oh, yeah. It said something like, they're coming not because we are the best, but because we are cheap.
Oof, that's blunt.
It is. It suggests our edge there has been mostly about lower labor costs.
Okay, that makes sense for a while, maybe, but it feels, well, shaky, doesn't it?
Exactly. A volatile rupee, rising inflation. That cost advantage could just evaporate.
So if we're not competing primarily on skill and quality across the board, what does that mean for us long term? Where does it leave India?
Well, it really raises questions about how sustainable our growth model is. If it's mainly about price, someone else can always come along cheaper. And as the world wants more complex skills, more innovation, we risk getting left behind.
Okay, that's a sobering thought on the competitiveness side.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears a bit. What about just job availability?
Right. The numbers.
Because you see this huge wave of graduates every year,
Yep.
right? The analysis mentioned something like 5 to 7 million.
Yeah, a massive number entering the job market annually. Huge potential there. But the absorption rate, how many actually get meaningful jobs? It's alarmingly low.
How low are we talking?
So get this. In the last fiscal year, the top 1,600 companies in India, they created fewer than 100,000 net new jobs combined.
Fewer than 100,000 out of millions of graduates.
Exactly. That's an absorption rate of less than 2%.
Less than 2%. Wow. Okay. That's a massive disconnect.
It really is. And it seems the frontline sector is feeling this squeeze quite hard.
Yeah.
Data from CMIE, the Center for Monitoring Indian Economy, suggests youth employment for 20 to 24-year-olds is only around 43%.
Only 43%.
And the steepest drops, they're seen in exactly these frontline roles we're talking about, retail, delivery, and so on.
So what's the consequence then for you listening? What does this mean on the ground?
Well, it points to this worrying trend where you have lots of young people, often, overqualified,
Right.
getting pushed into really precarious work, low-paying short-term gigs, or sadly, just dropping out of the workforce altogether because there's nothing suitable.
That just sounds like a recipe for frustration. Years of education then.
It really
Yeah.
does. Think about the untapped potential, the social impact. It makes you wonder about long-term stability, doesn't it?
Definitely. And the challenges don't stop, even if they do get a job, right? There's this retention issue.
Ah, yes, infant attrition. That's the term the analysis uses.
Infant attrition, it sounds pretty bad. What does it measure?
It's basically the percentage of new frontline hires who leave within the first 6 months.
Okay. And the number.
It's, well, it's over 50%.
Over half. Gone within 6 months.
Yeah. More than half of these new recruits don't stick around even for half a year.
Just think about that from a business perspective for a second.
Exactly. All the money spent on recruiting, onboarding, initial training.
Oof, gone. Wasted, essentially.
Pretty much. When more than half your new people leave so fast, what does that say about efficiency? About stability?
It screams inefficiency, instability. The cost must be huge, just constantly refilling those roles.
Not to mention the impact on service. On morale. It's a constant churn.
Which brings us to the big question. Why? Why are so many leaving so quickly? What are the root causes here?
Well, the analysis really points to some fundamental things.
Mm-hmm.
Compensation, motivation, or lack thereof, and importantly, this idea of dignity.
Let's talk compensation first. Stagnant, right?
Largely stagnant, yeah. Despite inflation hitting 9-10% annually, especially for essentials, food, fuel,
right, the things people really need.
But frontline salaries haven't kept up.
We're talking, what, like $15,000 to $18,000 a month for a delivery agent or a field sales exec, often?
In that ballpark, yeah. And often with very minimal benefits.
And little chance for, like, moving up, career progression.
Very limited, typically, which adds to the feeling of being stuck.
There was that anecdote in the source material, wasn't there, about the cab driver in Mumbai?
Oh, yeah. That really hit home. Working, what was it, 14 hours a day?
Something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And saving barely $1,000 a month.
That's not really employment in a meaningful sense, is it? That's just survival. A daily grind.
Exactly. So when you look at that reality, why would talented young people aspire to these roles?
It makes total sense why they might not, or why they jump ship the moment something slightly better comes along.
Right, which explains why companies then struggle to find and keep good people. It's this tough cycle.
It really is. So just to kind of pull it all together for you, the listener, the analysis lays out these four key pillars of the crisis.
Okay, let's recap those.
So first, global competitiveness in frontline skills.
Yeah.
Generally very low, right? Except maybe for some specific IT BPO pockets.
Got it. Low competitiveness. What's second?
Second, job availability. Extremely limited formal jobs compared to the flood of graduates.
Okay, limited jobs. Third.
Third, retention. That infant attrition we talked about.
Yeah.
Over 50% leaving within 6 months. Really high churn.
High attrition. And fourth?
Fourth, compensation versus inflation. Salaries are basically flat, meaning real savings are pretty much nil for many.
Stagnant pay. Okay, so low competitiveness, few jobs, high churn, stagnant pay. That's quite a list.
It really paints a clear picture of the core problems, doesn't it?
It does. Now, the analysis didn't just diagnose the problem, did it? It offered some solutions aimed at business leaders, the C-suite.
That's right. It wasn't just doom and gloom. There were concrete recommendations.
What were some of the key ones?
Well, first off, just acknowledging the problem, seeing it not just as an HR thing, but a core business challenge affecting everything.
Right. Needs top-level attention.
Definitely. Then, investing in purposeful skilling. Training that actually leads to jobs and meets future needs, not just ticking a box.
Makes sense. What else?
Rethinking pay structures, looking at entry-level pay, making sure it reflects the real cost of living, maybe performance too.
Okay, fair pay.
And crucially, redesigning those first jobs, building in actual career paths, mentorship, making the work feel more valuable, more dignified.
So it's not just a dead end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And finally, making retention, specifically frontline retention, a key metric. Something leaders are actually held accountable for, not just HR's problem.
Got it. Those sound like important steps for businesses. But this isn't just a business issue, is it? What are the bigger implications for India if these things aren't tackled?
Yeah, bringing it back to the bigger picture for you,
it's
about the kind of economy we're building, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The real risk, the analysis suggests, is ending up as a nation primarily of gig workers in low-value jobs.
Just squandering that demographic dividend we started with.
Precisely. Missing that huge opportunity.
So we come back to that first question.
Yes.
Is this a crisis? I mean, based on everything we've discussed.
The analysis certainly leans that way. And that final line from the source material is quite powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it asks very directly, if this isn't a crisis, what is?
It really makes you stop and think.
It does.
And maybe as you're reflecting on this deep dive, it's worth considering, you know, the long-term consequences, societally, economically. If a huge chunk of our young people feel undervalued, stuck, without real opportunities, what role could individuals like you listening play, maybe as informed citizens, maybe as consumers, maybe as future leaders, in pushing for change or even finding new solutions to tackle this? It's a complex problem, but a critical one.